Shit, it's that time again. It's Monday night. What's happening, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Jeff Plum. I guess you probably figured that out because Plum Love Foods Live has got a bunch of plums in the gimmick. And that's my gimmick because I'm a plum. Well, I'm not really like a plum. Like I'm not a fruit, but you know what I'm saying. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to have you here. It's Monday night. It's a Monday night. And, of course, what the hell month is this? It's May. In May, we are pushing towards June, making the hard push here towards the summertime. Looking forward to that. I got a lot of fun things going on. Dude, what an amazing shoot last week. It was a lot of fun for Mother's Day, the big Mother's Day show I talked about. We were shooting with Edible on the Road. And of course, hanging out that Monday night with the one and only Mr. Joshua Butler. A lot of fun with that. You guys, if you haven't gotten on Stationhead yet, you are missing out. Let me tell you what. Everything happened on Stationhead. We just did about a half an hour pre-show on Stationhead. Where the one and only guest, former guest of this very program, Girl Mama, comes on with her, I don't know how you describe it, her voice, and tells us about what kind of meat she's holding that day, or what kind of meat she's handled, and it's very, very entertaining, trust me, very entertaining, and I don't even know how to explain it, it's a good time, so we got to get you on there, check it out. You can check out Stationhead by downloading Stationhead from the App Store for iPhones only right now, but download it, jump on there, come on board with us. Use invite code Chef Plum to come on board and have some fun with us. There's a lot of, I mean, really, we just laugh. There's a lot of laughing. We were on last night, so God knows what time. Tons of people just making fun of each other, laughing. I run bits of great musicians and artists on there. I'm hosting a real program now on Stationhead before it goes live called Stationhead Sessions, where we've talked with, of course, Ryan Starr. We've talked with... The guy from E6, Mac Collins, of course, we talked to him. And of course, we are also this week going to be talking to the one and only Tommy Sunshine, DJ extraordinaire. And I wish I didn't just say that because it sounds stupid to say it. All right, enough of this crazy music. We get it. You're badass. Thank you. Can we put something less badass on? A little less, a little more like, I don't know, hip? Can we do any more hip music? Oh, now it sounds like it's a summertime in a Disney show. Let's change that. What else you got? Give me something different. What's this one? Oh, this is good. Okay. Now I feel like we're in a smoking lounge. Let's go with this for a minute. This doesn't sound quite as, you know, teen angst or heartfelt movie-ish, right? Anyway, tonight, you guys, we're having a great show. We've had a lot of big-name guests on here lately, so I thought tonight we'd come back talking with chefs. What everyone loves, and talking about the state of the plate here at 2017, the halfway point. We're almost to June. That is month 6. Let's see where 2017 has put us. There's been a lot of changes in the business. So I thought it's a great night to get some chefs on here, some real chefs, some chefs that are in this business that work their butts off every single day. A crowd favorite, one of my favorite guys, one only Mr. Chef Jeff Barazzi from the JK Chefs Collection, high-end personal chefs. Working out in the Hamptons and in New York City and Uruguay, as a matter of fact, although I haven't gone to Uruguay yet. And of course, you guys know him, you love him, Chef Dave, aka Bearded Boredom. I think, how do we say his whole name? Dave Bortnum, that's how we say it, right? Dave's become a good buddy of mine here on Stationhead, so I thought I'd bring him on here to talk, man. He's a sous chef at a country club out in Detroit, raising his family, doing the right thing, doing his duties. So I thought it'd be cool to bring him on, two different perspectives of the business to talk about tonight. And of course, we're going to cap this whole evening off with a funny thing that I found that I can't wait to talk about with you guys. We got a hold. We got a hold of something really, really funny I want to talk to you guys about. The hotel and catering requirements for the Middle East visit in May 2017 from the White House. That's right, from the White House. This is a hoot, you guys. You got to see some of the stuff that's on here. I can't wait to run this by the boys when they're on here. So it should be a pretty fun show, a pretty lighthearted show tonight. We'll probably do a little after show on Stationhead, so make sure you get around and check that out. And that's going to be the plan for the evening, you guys. It's going to be a pretty simple show, but sometimes the simple shows usually bring in the most information for all of us. And so hopefully that'll continue on this program. This week coming up for me, you guys, holy cow, let me tell you what's going on. First of all, if you're in the tri-state area, anywhere from Long Island up to Boston, I'll be on Star 99.9 tomorrow with Anna and Raven. I'm going to be yelling at Anna about her cooking skills. And then we're going to be I got to do a little magic, radio magic. That's actually pre-recorded. But then I'm going to be that afternoon. We're going to a giant appliance store where she's going to cook a recipe, and I'm basically going to just be Gordon Ramsay at her and yell at her the whole time, which should be a lot of fun. But also in the morning, I will be on WTNH CT Style, our good buddy Ryan Christopher's program. I'm going to be on his show tomorrow morning. So I'm going to be doing two things at once. I am like a magic ninja. In case you guys don't know, a magic ninja. That's what I'm going to be tomorrow, on two programs at the same time. Good news is that I got a brand new DeLorean to use to help me get there. So I'm excited about that. I'm trying to download a song, so I really want to play. I really want to play some Chris Cornell after what went down last week with Chris Cornell, and just if I can talk for a second about that, because I think a lot of people who listen to this program and a lot of people who are of the same age range, I guess, as I am, that kind of mid 20s ish, right? No? All right. Well, you know what I mean. Chris Cornell, Soundgarden, just iconic. And he ended up taking his own life this past week. And it was, it was tough, man. It was tough for me. It was tough for a lot of people. But more importantly, I just can't imagine, his family and how they deal with that. And I got... The toughest part for me, guys, and I wish that I felt differently, but I think when you, how am I trying to say this without sounding like an asshole? When you take your own life, I think it's one of the most selfish things you could possibly ever do in the world, especially if you have a family. The second you have kids, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to your family. And when you do that, I know this is probably a direction that people didn't think I was going to go in, but like, I mean, you can't do that. You can't take your own life when you have a family. You can't do that. I don't care how tough it is or how bad it is or how tough life is getting for you. You simply cannot do that. Your life is not your own. You don't belong to just you anymore. You don't have to not answer to anybody. You have a family. You have children who depend on you. You have children who are going to ask questions. And then not only that, you're leaving, your partner behind. So... as much as I respect Chris Cornell as a musician, as much as I love his music, as much as some of the songs from that single soundtrack meant to me, as much as Bad Motorfinger, Black Hole Sun, these amazing songs and albums, and as much as they meant to me in my life, it really all kind of gets a little bit, tainted. It gets tainted to me after him taking his own life. It really does. It really, really does. And it hurts my heart to even say that, to even feel that way. And I can only imagine what it feels like to his family, that have to go through that. So I wish that wasn't the case. I'm sorry for his family. But in the end, that's a decision you make. And he made it. And I get that life can get tough. I get that things can seem like there's no end, or, I don't know the whole story behind it. And I wish I did, but I don't think I want to know. I think all I need to know is that it's the easy out. And I don't think that anybody should ever feel like, that's an answer. Because it's not, especially when you have kids, especially when you have a family. It's not the answer. It's not acceptable to anybody. It never should be. I don't care how hard life is, you guys. Taking your own life is not the answer. It's just not. It's so not the answer. Because of the people who you depend on, and because of the people that you're going to leave behind. Because when you do that, you're taking your own life. And yes, you feel like there's no other way out. But what you're doing is leaving behind just a nightmare for people to deal with. You're leaving behind a trail of sadness and broken hearts to people who were never going to be the same again, because you couldn't take it. Life was too hard for you. I don't know, man. I think it's just a different way of upbringing, a different way of looking at life. And I mean, anybody who I think is an artist has felt that way at some point. I just think it's just what we do. It's kind of like the ultimate story ending. Maybe in some weird way, but unfortunately, I think once you have children, once you have a family, once you have people who depend on you, there's no scenario where that could ever be the way things get handled, ever. So as much as I love Soundgarden, as much as Bad Motorfinger is one of my favorite albums of all time, as much as a single soundtrack is one of my favorite albums of all time, love the music. I lost a lot of respect for the guy, a lot. And, you know, for me as a artist, as a musician, as a person who just enjoys great music, that really, really, leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So we did lose a great musician. And that's unfortunate. So, in tribute, you guys, doesn't mean I hate the guy, but in tribute, I'm going to play my favorite Chris Cornell song for everybody here. It's kind of appropriate, I think, for losing an amazing musician. The guy had like six octaves or four, I don't remember, some crazy vocal range, like Mariah Carey vocal range. And this song is a great, you know, it shows that vocal range. So anyway, I want to play Seasons off the single soundtrack by Chris Cornell. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back with Chef Jeff Perazzi and Chef Dave Bortman. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Here's Seasons by Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell, one of the greats of a generation for sure, man. Welcome back, Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Chef Plum. Hanging out here last night. I got a little somber there for a minute, and you know, I apologize for that, but I had to address it. I had to address the Chris Cornell thing because it's such an important music part of my life growing up. So I wanted to address it. So that's all it was. So there you go. And that's all we'll talk about. I'll talk to the boys here when I bring them on. And, you know, that song's one of my favorite songs. So, you know, I wanted to play it. And, of course, speaking of favorites, got two of my favorite chefs on this program tonight. Tonight we've got the one and only Mr. Chef Jeff Rogers from the JK Chefs Collection. He's here with us tonight. And, of course, the one and only Chef Dave Borden. I'm a chef I've become pretty good friends with. He runs a country club up there in Detroit, Michigan. Almost in Canada. That's where he's at. Gentlemen, good evening.
Hey, what's going on?
So I'm pretty sure they haven't fixed the little bit of a delay we have here. So I'll try to make up for it, of course. But I apologize for my little somberness there talking about Chris Cornell. I haven't addressed any of it yet, and I wanted to do it on the show tonight and play season. So, you know, I feel pretty strong about that stuff because I've been through so much crazy shit in my life with people and people taking their own lives and stuff. I don't know. I have very strong feelings about it. I think once you have kids, it's not your life, it's not yours to take anymore, you know?
Yeah.
You guys are fathers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, pretty much once you have a kid, you live for them, no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, life's a gift on the all in all. You know what I mean? You really have to try to look at shit in a positive light. I mean, I've definitely gone through skinny puppy stages of my life, you know, like where you listen to dark shit and get all dark and feel all weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've been there too. That's why they call it a present,
know,
right?
Have something to... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, I know it sounds corny and shit, but I just think that like, I mean, even in the darkest times of my life, I've always been able to find some sort of joy. You know what I mean? Like I've always been able to laugh at something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Even, I don't know. Maybe that's just my personality and that's just my own, like, weird defense mechanism, but to save myself from, you know, jumping off a fucking bridge. Because I've definitely stood on some and been like, what the fuck is going on with my life? You know, like, I definitely thought about just, like, ending it for sure. I mean, I think everyone's thought about it, right? I mean,
sure. I mean,
I think everybody's had.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
I think everybody's had dark times, and it's pretty much what defines us is not what we go through, but how we deal with it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I think once you do deal with it, life acts weird. Life can reward you in weird ways. And, you know, I mean, all three of us, I mean, with our families, our wives, we're all batting out of our league to begin with. I mean, Dave's got a beautiful wife. Jeff has a beautiful wife. I do. Like, we're way out of our league. But I think that comes from, you know, the hard work that it's in the chef blood. You know, I think it's where it all comes from. That hard work, whether you push it towards actually from a professional standpoint.
Yeah, it might be the old salami, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know.
Hey, hey. Can you be that guy now? Just, hey.
Might be the charcuterie in the house. Let me just tell you.
But I'm serious. I think the mentality of a chef kind of goes a long way, man. It's lost in a lot of other professions these days. I mean, we don't quit. We just keep going.
I think it's that obsession with improvement and the next level of what's going to happen next. Even when something gets really bad, you're like, all right, I'm going to give it another day and do it again tomorrow.
Right.
And that's pretty much, if you're in the industry and you're doing your thing, then you kind of have to have that ingrained in you, not only as your work ethic, but as your life motto.
I mean, that's some pretty brilliant shit right there, Jeff. Did you hear what he said? That was some pretty brilliant-ass shit, right? I never heard you say anything that smart before, Dave. That was pretty awesome.
Dude, Dave's a man. Fuck yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
but yeah, anyway, we don't keep talking about that negative stuff, man. But, like, you know, and I just had to get that out. But
it's all love, man. I mean, the worst part is about, you know, it's like, you know, I think that everyone should really just be thinking about his family and just thinking about, you know, his children and, like, just hoping and wishing them all, you know, some positive vibrations because, you know, that's what, I mean, there's no, I mean, his story's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't have to deal with it anymore.
It's like, exactly, there's no what ifs, there's only what nows. And people, like, when that's one thought that always kind of got me through that shit, you know. And it was like, never to, like, you can't obsess about all this, like, oh, what if I'd have, you know. It's like, you got to be in the present, you know. You have to be right in that moment. You can't, like, and in that
really
moment,
like,
you, there's always another option, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and if
totally.
And if you were to end your life, it's like, what's the what now? It's like, what, your mom has to deal with that, and, like, your fucking family,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, you think about that kind of shit, that's like, it's almost the reason never to fucking do that, you know what I mean? Before, even before you have kids, you know, because long before I had kids is when I had dark thoughts. You know, once I had kids, I had some real joy in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, I think when you're single and you're getting high and fucking, you know, wiling out, and sometimes shit doesn't go so right, you might fuck up some shit. I don't know. Just saying.
No, you're totally right. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. And I want you to remember that, because I got a brand new bit for Station Head for you. It's going to be called Jeffspirations, and you're going to give us some Jeffspirations. That's going to be awesome. So, Dave, you've got a daughter, right? And you have a wife and a daughter, and you're a sous chef at a pretty big country club out there, man. Tell us about where you're working now.
Well, I don't know if I'm actually allowed to mention it by name right now, but
you don't have to.
Out in the real nice suburbs. I dig it, honestly. It's a private club. There's two locations, a semi-public and then a completely private side. So
right.
I'm just doing my thing there, and hopefully I'm doing it right. I'm still, like I said, you know, we're obsessed with improvement, so it's just something to keep going and moving on to the next.
But it's one of those kind of new jobs, Jeff, that he's got, where, like, I mean, he's got health care for his family. Like, you know, he's getting some time off. They're giving him a legit wage and paying him year round. Like, you know, those jobs were few and far between when I was coming up. And I think same thing for Jeff. But, you know, having one of those now,
yeah, no,
that's
those
awesome.
Kind of jobs are really cushy, and especially if they let you be creative and do your thing too. And it's not just like, you know, hey, let's make another Caesar salad round for everybody. You know, like the club members. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like a exciting spot. And money's always great.
So, Dave, do you find like in 2017 so far, like, you're seeing, because you see it a lot of times, even some of these corporate restaurants now, they're giving their regional people a little bit more creativity, a little more creative chances now, because that's what's cool. People want to see that. People want to see a chef creating. They want to have a chef at their restaurant. Make no mistake, P.F. Chang's doesn't have a chef, right? But they're trying to kind of give that impression by letting them make some of their own specials based on certain criteria. In your club, are you seeing that more now? Are you getting a little more creativity?
Yeah, I'm seeing that a lot, actually, especially with like events, weddings, things like that. You get some freedom. We don't really have a recipe book, which is kind of cool. Like,
that
we have our set menu for the restaurant, but for our banquets, it's kind of like, all right, we need, you know, like a spicy coconut sauce or something, you know, and it's like, just do your thing with it. Or, you know, like, we need, like, anything really that's like, all right, this wedding, they want, you know, like a beef dish, make one. Or, you know, it's just like, come up with something, roll with it, and keep going. And it's cool because the freedom, this is like one of the first jobs I've actually had the freedom and just kind of been like, go do your thing. And I dig it, because before that it was always, here's our book, make it. You know, measure it. Here's your teaspoon. It has to be the same exact thing every time, no matter what.
But, you know, I think that there's a lot to actually be said for that and learning from that when you first start in the business. I don't know, Jeff, what do you think? I think there's a little bit, I mean, to say, listen, here's the recipe. This is how we make this. But I think you learn a lot when you're working from a recipe.
Yeah. I mean, I think for sure. I think you have to, you know, I didn't go to culinary school. I'm like obsessed with cookbooks. So I've been like chefs and other chefs, and like reading what people do, and like, and just kind of like trying to like learn the median, you know what I mean, of like food. I was always like, I always looked at it as like an art kind of thing especially when I first started out, just because I hated the chefs that I worked for so much. That was so sticks to me. So I was like, I'll never be a chef, you know. But then I was kind of like really getting into it, and it got me laid. So it was like,
you
know,
how many years have you been doing this now, Jeff?
So a long time. I don't know. I've been a private chef for 9 years. I've been cooking in the Hamptons.
How long has cooking food been paying your bills? How about that?
Since my first year out of college. I mean, and before that, it paid my bills too. But I always had more than one hustle. I was in school, so I was always like, you know, trying to, you know, I was like taking out grants to do whatever, you know, to live and not try to work as much, so I can like, you know, kind of try to live some sort of white college dream.
It's funny because like you think about you want to be an artist. I want to talk about that, but you think about jobs that are in the game, jobs that are fucking for real, jobs that really kind of give you that sense of fulfillment. And for me, you know, running a kitchen or even just working in a kitchen was the first job that really gave me that fulfillment, that like, wow, I got a lot done today. Whereas, you know, I did electrical work for one summer while I was working at a, you know, I was working in a restaurant during the day, I mean, at night, and doing electrical work in the summer during the day. And still, I mean, it was great. I mean, I liked it. I didn't want to do it, but I learned a lot of shit. But nothing gave me that fulfillment of like, look at this. This is, you know, look what we did tonight. We did 120 covers and we kicked ass, and like giving that sense of fulfillment to where it is today, where it is now. Like, I don't know what's more real to me. Like the fact that, look, I go and I cook food for people and I make them laugh, and that's put a roof over my head. That's given me the opportunity to buy cars, to have children, to sit here and talk to you guys tonight. Like, if I don't know, if that's not fucking being in the game, I don't know what is.
Bro, it is being in the game, bro. That's exactly what it's about, man. That's exactly what it's about. I feel like I didn't want to be a chef until I started really making money. Like, until I came to the Hamptons and I saw how much money they were making, and I was like, what? And I watched the chef walk out, and that's like my first head chef job. I literally like walked in and like just was like, yo, I can cook. Let me get a shot. I've been to New Orleans, and they were like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then I just went home and read a cookbook and went back in, and you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, you just gotta be able to cook, I guess. And like, I have I know how to tell people what to do. And it was like,
For a guy like Dave, though, Dave, you're still pretty young in the business, so to speak. I mean, you're not a young guy. You're older than Jeff and I together, which is, I still can't believe that. I mean, I just turned 23. I think, Jeff, what are you, 24 now, right?
24, yeah. Just in March.
He's 24. Right. So he's a little bit older than me, but not much. But, I mean, Dave, you're, you know, early 30s here. How long have you been in the business now, and what did you do before you got in it?
Probably like 15 years on and off. And then there was a time where I just didn't work at all.
I just didn't work.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Just like doing the hustle thing there? I mean, you live in Detroit. What were you doing that time you just weren't working? What were you doing?
I was just kind of laying in the cut.
I got love you. It. It's a safe spot, man. It's cool. I understand. I know.
Yeah. Honestly, I think collectively probably been cooking about 8 years through those 15. Yeah. And right. I didn't start really taking it seriously until about 3 years ago when I found out I was about to have a daughter. And I was like, oh, shit. Right. I was like, now what? And then I was in the dive bar, and they're like, the kitchen's yours at night, do whatever. And then I went to a craft brew place, and, you know, I started pretty much at the bottom and did whatever I could to keep, you know, going in that daily improvement. And now I'm at the country club doing the sous chef thing, but I still, like, saying I have, I still feel like a guppy in the culinary ocean. Like, honestly, there's so much shit I don't know.
Me too.
But doing that job, like, you worked your way up to that job, and that job is now putting the roof over your head, giving you a chance to be with your daughter and put food on the table for you and your wife. Like, it's been good. Like, food is a fucking powerful thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it can provide that for us, you know?
It looks great too, man. I love your page, your IG page. I've been lurking.
Thank you.
And speaking of that, Dave, the only reason you didn't win that burger contest, I just want you to know, you were the first choice. But everyone's like, dude, he's already won a bunch of shit, so they made us pick somebody else.
Dude, if there's a competition, I'm on it. So I was like, let's do this. But you know what? I'm happy. Like, even if I don't win, I'm always happy to see somebody else win, because it's like, that's a different style that I wouldn't even have thought of, or that's a cool spin. It's like, there's always that slight disappointment of not winning, but at the same time, it's like somebody else won and they fucking rock their shit, and this could, like, you know, get them going into the right direction. So I'm always happy to see other people win.
Right. Well, I'm a big believer in this business, especially, man, of being like, you know, the coolest thing about it is that everybody come, all the chefs that are in our age bracket, you know, we all have some weird fucked up story or some background or some, you know, we weren't trying to be cooks. It just kind of fucking happened. And that's definitely what it is. We're a generation now. I mean, you have people who, you know, thanks to Food Network, Cooking Channel, and how romanticized the position is. You know, everyone wants to be a chef. They want to go to culinary school. When they come out of culinary school, well, they're a chef. Well, that's not really true. And Jeff, you hire people often. And Dave, I'm imagining you've probably had a couple of interviews in your lifetime as well. I mean, do you see that? Do you see that change?
I mean, bro, I see. I meet a lot of people. And, you know, I mean, some people are amazing. Some people are, like, the nicest people. And some people are, like, really hungry and great chefs, but they're just, like, you know, some chefs are, like, better in the back. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just don't, like, they're, like, socially awkward. You know what I mean? Some people that I know that are really, really driven and, like, amazing artists just aren't the best, like, interviewed. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to get them to smile or laugh or to, like, you know what I mean, connect. You know what I mean? And I guess I'm
That's how you and I became friends. You know, I interviewed to work with your company, and that's, we kind of became friends immediately. That's just kind of what happened. We talked for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, we actually talked for like an hour and a half on the phone, exactly. I remember I got off the phone with my wife. I'm like, dude, I just met the best guy. I'm like, I got he watched the Jake the Snake thing, too. He saw the Jake the Snake video, too.
I got off the phone with you, and I told my wife, I said, I think he wants to hit on me.
Oh, man. Did I come across that sexy? Kidding.
No. Oh. Now you are. I mean, which I completely agree with. And totally fine. No, but it's funny because you meet people like that.
Now you have a visual.
Yeah. Well, you're an Adonis-like motherfucker, that's for sure. But let me tell you something. It comes from, you just find people who are kindred spirits. Like, dude, your story, my story, they're interchangeable. Like, they just, you can put them any place on the planet, and it's the same story. Like, for people in our generation, the cooks, and Dave, I think, might come from it, too, in his own way. It's the same story, man. I think that the difference is the generation of people. And, you know, I don't want to get into this whole generational thing, but I just think it's even a big difference from even last year to now, how much it's changed when it comes to talking to other chefs and people. You know, I had to get some new people working for me and on some of my parties and whatnot. And it's a giant difference, man. I mean, you have these people who it's weird, like, who have the giant respect for the business, but they haven't done anything. They still want to be a chef, but they respect it. Does that make sense? Whereas even like a year ago, I felt like they all wanted to be chef, but didn't have respect for it. It's strange.
Well, there's a different, I mean, there was like there's like millennials, and then there's like this new kind of like
snowballs, like, right? Snowflakes?
No, they're not the snowflakes. They're the other side where there's like the Gary V dudes, you know, the ones who are like, hey, follow your passion, do it to the extreme.
Get what you want
out of life. Do it, right, man. Come on, we can all do this, you know, and like, don't do drugs, don't waste your fucking time. Get out there, do your shit. Come on, man. You know, like, and it's which is awesome, and it's like super motivating, and I love that guy too, but I'm still hanging out, inebriating myself at my free will. I don't need anyone telling me what to do, okay? I'm just saying.
Well, wait a minute. Dave, do you, as a sous chef, Dave, do you get to interview any people or hire any line cooks or have take part in the hiring process?
No, luckily I have not had to do that because honestly, I would be probably hiring people that would want to quit in 2 weeks. I'm not like the nicest guy on the line. I mean, if I don't have to be a dick, I'm fun to be around. But apparently, I just found this out last week. If you fuck up, I'm all over your ass. And it's not like I'm trying to make them feel like shit. I'm just trying to let them know it's like, hey, shit just came down on my head. So guess what? It's going to come down on yours because it wasn't really me that did it. I'm going to pull you aside. I'm not going to ring you out in front of everybody, but you got to hear it so you don't do it again.
Well, let me ask you this, though. On the same accord, let me ask you this, man. Have you ever pulled anyone aside and said, hey, you know, great job. Like, that was, you handled that really well tonight. You did this really well tonight. Yeah, have you ever done that? And be honest, like, it's,
yeah,
I mean,
actually,
I don't
pull them aside when they do a great job. I do it in front of everybody.
Good.
I let it, like, it's like, you did a great job on that. I tell my guys before I leave, great job. It's, you know, we rocked it out. It's like, good job tonight. You guys rocked it out. My dishwashers, I love those motherfuckers. They kill it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're doing good, I love you. If you're going to fuck up, and I don't even think it's really, it's just a reaction because of all the types of chefs I've worked under until now. Like, my chef, he's awesome.
Yeah.
In the past, the chefs I've worked under, if you fucked up, your day was going to be fucked up. And that's one thing I'm trying to get past because nobody wants to work for that guy.
That's a very old school mentality.
I vowed I would never do that, man. Because all the places I worked as a kid, man, as a dishwasher, Dave, I had guys throwing hot pans at me as I ran by. You know, I'd be just trying to take their buckets to help, and they're like, literally trying to hit me with things. I'm like, dude, what the hell? Like, it was like, it was really intense. But it was like, I had a knack for it, so I just kept in there. And I ate free food, so I thought that was great, you know.
Yeah. And honestly,
that was great.
I do love everybody I work with because it becomes a brotherhood. You're like in the fucking trenches fighting with these guys to get the tickets, you know.
That's the best part. It's like you're on a, like, I always like equated to a pirate ship after reading Anthony Bourdain's book. It always like rang true to me when he's like, "Oh, they're like pirates. Everyone in the kitchen, they're all like convicts and crazies." And I was like, "Yeah, see, my peoples. I love these men."
I've always called the Lost Boys the Broken Band of Pirates. It's the Lost Boys. It's a group of people who have come together, who probably in any other circumstances in life would never be together, but they've come together, and when you're there for that 10, 12 hours of your work, and that's your people, and you become really, really tight with them. And, you know, I got taught, there was a guy I worked with at a restaurant in Virginia called Mulligan's, and the bar manager there, his name was Tim Delano, and I still talk to him to this day. He's a great guy, and kind of mentored me a little bit, just more about people skills mentoring. His name was Timmy D. We all call him Timmy D. And he said to me every night before when I left, he would shake my hand and say, "Thank you." And I was like, "But I'm," he said, "Why is he thanking me? It's a job. Like, I'm getting paid." So one drunken night I asked him, I said, "Dude, why do you thank me every night?" And he goes, "Plum, I thank everybody every night. And let me tell you why." He said, "Because, yeah, it's a job, you're getting paid to do it." He's like, "But you can get a job anywhere. You can be working anywhere, but you're working with me. And I love the time that we have together. And so, you know, I think it's important to thank everybody every night to know that they know on a personal level I appreciate them." And you know what? Ever since then, I've thanked everybody every night when I'm done working with them.
That's pretty cool. That's actually cool. Yeah, because I dig that. Honestly, there's been nights where I've left jobs, and I'm going home, and I'm beating the shit out of myself because of all the things I fucked up. Well, you know, mentally.
Right.
And it's like, oh, man, I fucked this up. I fucked that up. I fucked this up. And I realized, you know, as I got older and I moved on, it's because I never was told I was doing a good job.
Sure.
So that's one thing that I always wanted to let my guys know. So, like, thanking them, even, because if you think about it, you're thanking them for being there. They're not spending time with their family. They're not at home and with their kid and putting them to bed. They're not making dinner for their family. They're here to make sure shit runs right.
And more than likely, they could get a line cooking job anywhere they wanted to. Like, they don't have to, you know, but they're there.
Oh, yeah,
and they're choosing to have that job with you.
Yeah. And it's you chose it, but there's a loyalty too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it shows. I haven't been in that place in 20 years, and I'm still talking to the guy. I talked to him the night, and, you know, I had a friend of mine who recently died, and he was the one of the bouncers at this particular place I worked. And we had just actually, it's funny, we had just reconnected on Facebook. I told the story on Station Head. We just reconnected on Facebook, and you know, we were talking, and I was like, "Dude, I'm gonna give you a call. I can't wait to talk to you." And you know, what happens is life just kind of gets in the way. You know, you're like, "Oh, I'm going to call him tonight, but I'm busy, and oh, this happened, and I got to go to town, and all the kids got this and that, the other thing, and, you know, I'll call him next week." And what ended up happening is his name was Anthony Freeze. We all called him Freeze. Great big black dude, sweetest guy in the world. And he ended up having a heart attack, and there wasn't next week for Freeze. And once that happened, it hit me pretty hard, especially, and this is just a couple months ago, and it hit me pretty hard. And I was like, God damn it. You know, what was I doing that was so important that I couldn't have called, just talked to the guy and said, what's up? So you know what I did? I called four people that we worked with back in that day. I just talked to them and I said, listen, I never got a chance to talk to Freeze. And I said, whenever I'm thinking about somebody, I'm just going to call them. Just say, what's up? Even if I haven't talked to you in 20 years, I'm just going to call you. And I said, I know doing that, you know, Freeze, wherever he's at, is going to see that and that would make him happy that I'm doing that. So,
hell yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just, and one of the guys that I reached out to was that guy I was telling you about, Timmy D. I just called him and talked to him, man. It was great to talk to the guy. He's the same fucking dude, the same positive, hippie, beer drinking motherfucker who was just a great human being. And, you know, those are the characters you meet in this business that I think make this business what it is, whether it's from a personal chef level, a private chef, a caterer, a cook. I mean, those are the people. Those are the people that make it go around. And those are the people that stick out and stick with you in your life. And I'm sure you guys got some too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. All sorts of characters.
Yeah, I made a pact with myself in 2017, gentlemen, to get rid of the negative people that I work with. And a few people who've been on the show on a regular basis and who I thought were pretty good people are no longer with me because of the not having negative people around and trying to surround myself with very positive people, such as you two gentlemen. And yeah, I think that's a...
How many people do you think you've had to cut out of your life for being negative?
I'll get real deep and personal with you guys. I don't talk to my family anymore.
Wow.
My mom, brothers, my mom. I don't talk to them anymore. I just don't. I'm done with it. No more negativity. I haven't talked to my family in a long time. And I was trying to make an effort before. And I said, why? And I don't talk to them anymore. And I'm happy.
Bro,
right away.
It's hard to deal with darkness when you're trying to shine.
That's exactly it. Preach. That's exactly it. It's time for a Dave-spiration. But it's the truth, man. I'm trying to do things and move up in my life and be something. Coming from a family of people who, you know, never really had a chance to be anything. And, you know, and you try to move up and try to do something. And no matter what, like, it's just not enough. And I don't know. I'm just done with it. And so... I cut out quite a few, bro. I did. And you know how much I talk to you guys every day now. I talk to you guys at least a couple times a week now. And it's just, to me, that's a very healthy thing. Like, whether it's even just goofing off or just talking about the day, or that's great stuff. Another great example of that is Chef Scutorius. I love the guy. He gets a lot of flack, but I love the guy. You're not going to find a more positive individual than that guy. And
he's an amazing, amazing guy.
Yeah. I mean... That's what it's about. And so
I like that guy.
I think you're finding a generation of cooks now, gentlemen, and correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe you haven't seen it, or maybe you are seeing it, who kind of have that mentality where it's not always about being negative about going to work or being a douche at work all the time, or, you know, being that stereotypical angry line cook behind the lines. It's you're kind of seeing that change a little bit. Are you guys feeling that? Because I feel it.
I feel it, yeah. Because I was an angry line cook and that shit. And that's when I realized, like, this is no way to fucking do anything. I was like,
right.
Yeah, man.
Find that light and let other people see it.
I haven't run a kitchen in a while, but I mean, that was my biggest thing. When I became a chef, like the head chef of a place, I just decided, like, I'm not, like, I tweaked like three times. I like fired a waitress once and like followed her out in the dining room and like basically like stopped service until she left. Like, because I had like a meltdown, like terrible. But they weren't gonna fire me because I was holding it. I held everything else together, and she was way out of line. She's like cursing me out and stuff, and I was like, no, that's not happening.
Yeah. Right.
And then I took a swing.
Well, even working with the private chefs and party guys you're working with these days, the people you hire through JK Chefs, like, are you seeing more positivity? I mean, we're all going to have negative people.
Yeah, there's a lot more. You know what it is, too, Plum? I a long time ago, I've always decided, like, I mean, everyone's on their own trip, you know what I mean? And I just don't want to deal with that. You know, like, I have my own movie. Like, I have my own, like, vision for how I want everything to roll. And, like, sure, people come into it, and I just got to, like, take it frame by frame and sort of be like, listen, man, I see what you're doing, and that's cool, and go do it. And I'm going to do my thing. You know, I like gently let people down, or I don't ever call them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
you just don't call them.
Those are like the two things that end up happening. If they're super negative, you know what I mean? Like, if I see some like negative, or if I get like a weird negative kind of like, you know, if I call one of their references and like the guy's like, well, you know, you had this thing, you know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, because that's the other thing. You know, when you call people's references, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you ever do that when you're hiring people.
Yeah.
Like, enough to like, it's like, you know, sometimes you can tell they're just like, oh yeah, he's amazing, or whatever. You know, and, like, just get off the phone, and then some people are like, really like, oh yeah, that guy. Well, you know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. And when you're going through so many resumes, and like you're putting, like for me especially, I'm like, you know, I'm putting chefs in like really big homes, and I can't. There can't be any playing around, you know what I mean? Like,
definitely
like,
not.
These people, I've had a couple people like make me look terrible, you know what I mean? And I've had to return money.
Oh.
I've had like a couple like bad experiences with just maybe three out of over 200 events, you know what I mean? Total.
Well, yeah,
and,
that's gonna
including
happen.
Placement. Yeah,
right.
But I try to be a pretty good judge of character. You know what I mean? I really try to, like, I'm a pretty personable cat. You know what I mean? So when I talk to people, I try to be, I'm real. I'm like, this is me every day, all day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't,
yeah.
Like, I'm not changing my persona for your mama. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, just like.
Well, you're a good dude, man. You're a great dude. And one of these days, I want to taste your food. I've never had your food because your food might be shit. But you're a good
well,
dude.
You know, I never wash my hands. They're like a seasoned pan.
Oh,
that's the secret.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. I think we should all try to make the decision here to move forward. I think we kind of are, but move forward and with the second half of 2017 just being completely positive. And if we have something negative to say, we got to follow up with something positive. I mean, that's tough to do as a chef. As a chef, it's hard to you know, we're about getting it done and getting things out and getting things. You know, we're, everything's in a rush,
right,
everything's in a
right.
hurry. And
can we just define positivity? Because can I be cynical?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, like in general, can I just be cynical?
Oh yeah, you can be cynical. Sure, sure.
Because I mean, I feel like that's funny. You know, like a little cynicism here and there.
Well, I mean, we're all self-deprecating, and that's what we do as chefs. So I think a cynicism is probably pretty good with it. Pretty. I think it's important, man, to try to get out there and do something. You know, a quick short story here, and I'll change the subject. But especially for a guy like Dave, who is working with young cooks every day, you know, that positivity goes a long way, man. You saw how you reacted to me just telling your story about a guy who would say thank you to me. I think that's the way to go. And I don't know if it's, I don't know, it's not so much of as a stand up on your, you know, and preach and everything. Everybody's a winner and we're all getting trophies and all. It's just about being a good person. And I don't mean to sound stupid, but like, you know what I mean? It's just, this is a business. It's a very tough business. It can be a very good business, but it's very, very tough. And to make your way up to a level which we've all done. We're providing for our families, and we're making it happen with food, which is a fucking crazy thing if you think about it. We put things on a plate, people eat it, we get paid for it. It's nuts. If you really break it down, it's fucking crazy. But to take the fact and take the rest of the second half of this year and just try to make it even I am, and just try to be not negative about it. You know, just be thankful for every moment that we have with it and the opportunities I get that it brings. So I don't know. That's off my soapbox. I really dig this conversation. I know it's
Amen.
Weird, but
preach, bro.
I was talking to Guy Fieri.
That emotion.
This is a great combo.
Second that emotion.
There you go. I want to talk to you guys too about something ridiculous. And Dave, final thoughts on that, Dave. Sorry, I know I've been running my mouth. And when Jeff and I talk, like nobody else on the planet can get a word in. That's for sure.
It's no worries.
That's your final word on that? Awesome. Just no worries. I
no,
like it.
No.
Next thing,
no,
Dave's going to jump up. Dave's going to jump up and go, Hakuna Matata. He's going to start singing on us. Jesus. Tap dancing.
No, I hear
Christ.
What you're saying, because it's easier to deal with somebody who's positive and upbeat, especially on the lines, because there's times where you're going to have front of house, or you're going to have GMs, or you're going to have controllers or whatever coming down on you. And you don't want to bring that to your line, because when your line's feeling like shit, the food's going to represent what's going on. Times are going to go down, or times are going to go up, and you're going to be sending shit plates out. So not only in the kitchen do you need to stay positive, you need to stay positive in life as much as possible to kind of balance everything out, because when you get in the habit of it, then it just transfers back and forth nonstop.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. That's listen, actually, hey, this is a interesting quote I just read on Instagram from our buddy Chef Dan Himmeter. I don't know if you guys know him. He's been here before. I used to call him AKA the Green Beret. He's awesome, man. He says, when you doubt whether or not you're good enough to you have two choices. Prove you are and work to be better, or wallow in self-pity and believe you'll never be. The choice is yours. And that's it, man. That's pretty badass right there.
Yo, have you ever heard of a book called Extreme Ownership?
No, I don't really read.
Oh, bro, it's awesome. It's by this guy, Jocko. Like, I think his name's Wilkeson or something like that. He's like
read a book by a guy named Jocko.
He's like some badass special forces dude that's been like, you know, like, super decorated, and he just talks about like ownership of a situation, of like the moment of yourself,
right.
Like the whole, I mean, it's
that's awesome.
I haven't read it all the way, I just got it, but I'm like, I'm definitely into it. I think it's pretty cool. I'm like,
what's it called again?
Extreme Ownership.
Nice.
I have to check that out. See, I read and shit, bro. See, what's up, man?
Oh,
you don't read, bro?
Come on, bro. Bruh. So I happened to come across you guys something pretty funny that I thought you guys might get a kick out of as we wrap this program up, as we come down here to the home stretch, and I preached a conversation tonight, and I mean, it really does feel like that's kind of the way that the second half of this year is going to be. But I look forward to some exciting times cooking with both you gentlemen that we'll talk about. I got some shit that I haven't told you about.
I got some shit.
But more importantly, I came across a photocopy from the White House, memo 43BR313, hotel and catering requirements for the Middle East presidential visit, May 2017. Now, I think this is when Trump went to the Middle East, this month. Is that right? Nobody knows anything about
really
that.
I'm not really sure. Right, well, I haven't been keeping up with politics for
some time. I hear you. So, and we're not going to get into like the political aspect of it, because that's the last fucking thing I give a shit about. But what's interesting here is this fucking list, and you guys are going to die. So, Presidential Suite A has about 20 bullet points, and you guys got to hear this crazy shit that's on here. Now, just let's take a guess. Jeff, if you were going to think one thing, and being honest, not making a joke, what's one thing if you were going to pick, you would think would be on this list for the
caviar.
Hotel and catering requirements?
Caviar.
A quick scroll through to see. Caviar is not on the list.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Caviar.
I would think so too. Dave, if you were going to pick one thing, all joking aside, serious, what do you think would be? Like, pick something for the president.
Oysters.
Not a bad choice. Let's take a look through here. Not on here. But the number one, let's see, the first. I'm not going to say number one.
Choice?
Number. Yeah. You want a second choice? Take a second choice. Go for it.
Pigs in a blanket.
Oh, nice. No pigs in a blanket, but that's a solid guess.
I just got that was our third X. If we were in Family Feud, we would just lost.
Oh, someone could steal. You mean if we were playing Batman?
Yeah.
So
survey says
first on the list is 10. Number one and number two on the list, so not number, but the first things on the list are 10 2-liter Mountain Dew and Coca Cola's. Half chilled. Those are the first things on the list. 5 buckets of ice, 6 boxes of double stuffed Oreos, unwrapped and stacked into rows of 8. No bullshit. That's what it says. This is an official memo from the White House. Memo 45-BR313. That's the name of this memo. 6 boxes of Keebler E.L. fudge cookies, 3 microwave ovens. In parentheses, do not plug in microwaves. We will do this. Are you serious, man? Like, really? Really? This is what our country does now.
They have to heat up the human blood in the microwaves.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is?
Yep.
All I'm doing is reading this list.
They feed each other.
And I just want to be like, America, fuck yeah.
I love that
one box, assorted Airheads candies. Oh, it gets better. What the fuck? Like, sometimes I look at these lists and I wonder if someone's like, do you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy when they're trying to escape the jail and he's like, I need the wristband, the Quarnex battery, and I need that guy's leg. And then Rocket's like, nah, it was a joke. You just did the leg. It's fucking funny. What his face look like when you got the leg from him, right? So I wonder if someone's doing the same thing here, because here we go. Two cartons of KFC paper napkins, in parentheses, must be KFC napkins. What in the holy fuck is that? Yeah.
Is it like, I don't even know where to go with that. Is it like some special cotton blend in the KFC napkins I don't know about, or?
Ain't no fucking cotton in the KFC napkin. That's just papers and mud.
Right.
One tray of Kraft American cheese singles unwrapped. I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, am I going, is this the rider list for an ICP show, or is this what the president needs when he goes places? I don't know.
Yeah, or, see, that, now, if that was food at an ICP show, I'd be like, this makes sense.
Right. It totally makes total sense. This is the president of the United States, the leader of the free world. That's what this list is for. How fucked up is this? It gets better, gentlemen. It gets way better. Four packs of Red Bull, 24 hard-boiled eggs peeled, 13 Krispy Kreme glazed donuts. Yeah. 3 Rosewood shoehorns. It's getting better. Stay with me. Don't leave me yet. It's getting better. 3 gallons of buttermilk. What in the holy fuck are you going to do with 3 gallons of buttermilk? Nothing. No one even knows what the fuck you're going to do with that.
Maybe they're going to make their own butter.
I mean, there are some people who dip raw potatoes in buttermilk. That's the truth. It's a Jewish thing. But, yeah, I don't know. 5 maps. All right, ready? 5 maps of the 2016 Electoral College victory framed and hung throughout the suite. What in the fuck? Really, dude?
Wow. That's,
Jeff, you don't have any, Jeff's got nothing to add. Jeff is so annoyed right now. He's got nothing to even add.
I don't know. I'm afraid that if I say something, I'll end up getting arrested.
No one's gonna arrest you. This is a safe place. Trust me.
You never know who's listening.
Oh well, I hope you tell me if President Trump's listening. That's gonna be badass. I'll tell you what, because I have a few things to ask him.
But who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I just don't want to deal with it. I hate him. I think everybody does. I hate the whole thing. The whole thing just makes me feel crazy inside. Like,
yeah.
You listen to the stories and you look at these kind of things and you think about it, what he represents, and it's just like a, you know, what, I mean, I don't know, man. Oh.
Well, the good news is I know what the microwave ovens are for now, ladies and gentlemen. The microwave ovens, gentlemen, are for the 9 pounds of uncooked bacon that he requests. That's what the microwave ovens are for. 9 pounds of bacon. Do you think he invites them up? These people who probably don't even eat pork. He's like, you want some bacon? I can microwave you some bacon.
He's like, it'll change your life in a bigly way.
It's huge. This bacon, fantastic bacon. It's huge. 28 raw eggs, 2 pounds of chorizo. At least he goes around and gets different sausages. I'll give him that. 12 loaves of sliced white bread. We're almost there, Jeff. Hang with me. 6 sticks of butter, and now's where it gets interesting. You ready for this? So on top of all that, so you think the microwaves, gentlemen, are for microwaving bacon? Oh, there's more to it. Not only does he want all that food, he also wants 8 Hungry Man fried chicken frozen dinners. 8 of them.
Fried chicken frozen dinners. You know, I can fault him for that, because those are delicious.
Those are delicious.
I mean, I'm just saying.
3 Sara Lee cherry pie. I don't know. I got to look it up. That part I don't know. I don't have a lot of the details. That's true. 3 Sara Lee cherry pies, 5 Sara Lee apple pies, 4 tubs of Cool Whip. I mean, it sounds like our president might have an eating disorder. Maybe it's just me.
Hey, but Cool Whip is shit.
2 triple XL silk robes. And now there's 2 more things on this list. Does anybody want to guess? There's 2 more things, and they're not food related that are on this list.
They're not food. Gold-plated toilet?
Now, if you're going to get a toilet, you might as well get a gold-plated one. I agree with that. Jeff, any guesses? He's like, fuck no. A shotgun to the mouth with a toe attachment?
No. I'm going to say condoms.
No, he just grabs them by the pussy. What is he condoms for?
I don't know. To save himself.
Incorrect. Those are not correct. He does, however, request 3 80-inch plasma Sony TVs. 3 80-inch plasma Sony TVs is what he requests. Does this motherfucker know that plasma TVs are 5 years ago, 7 years ago?
And everything's like LED and LCD and everything.
Yeah. I mean, the plasma joints are nice. Trust me, you can still get a plasma. Go ahead.
Could you imagine how hot that room is with that many plasma screens?
And the fucking microwaves and all the bacon that's raw and the buttermilk? That just sounds terrible.
Oh, God, it must smell so bad in there.
In capital letters, the final thing on this list, in capital letters, it says, please iron sheets. Leader of the free world, ladies and gentlemen. Leader of the free world. I give him credit, though. He doesn't want to sleep on wrinkly sheets. At least he's not sleeping on wrinkly sheets. Give him credit for that.
Yeah, I like a 10,000 count myself.
10,000, not bad. Jeff, you're falling asleep on me now. You can't even deal with fucking the President Trump bullshit.
I don't know, man. I get worried about being stupid and say something like really terrible.
Fuck it. We're good. Don't worry. I got you. I'm global icon, national treasure. I got your back. Don't worry.
That's true. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously that's a ridiculous list. I mean,
but people make these lists, dude. Even bands make lists like this when they go places. Who was it?
I worked in nightclubs. I bounced as a kid in a lot of nightclubs, and I remember like bands coming in and like the riders being like ridiculous and us laughing hysterical. Like,
I only want the green Skittles,
green M&Ms. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, you should have seen the riders for the bands out here in the Hamptons. I did this concert with a catering company we did. And I remember, like, the thing in Prince's Rider is, like, none of us were supposed to look him in the eye. I swear to God, it said something like that in there. It was, like, bananas. We were like, what?
Don't look him in the eye. Wow. That's ridiculous, man. I worked a show for the RZA doing security on the Bobby Digital Tour. And that motherfucker, all he wanted was some soda and some chicken. That's all he wanted. That's it. Awesome. Didn't give a fuck where it came from. That's all he wanted. That's it. Soda and chicken. Nice. It was easy as shit. Yep.
I love it.
Well, gentlemen, I dig this conversation, man. Dave, tell them where to find you on social media, man. I think everybody probably follows you as it is because you do pretty well for yourself and you're doing great stuff, man. But tell them where to get you on social.
You can find me on Instagram at dave.fortnum.
That's it?
Well, and my Facebook's kind of, you know, like family-oriented.
Right on. All right. Well, good times. And of course, Chef Jeff. I mean, we've said it a million times in this program. You know where to find Chef Jeff. One of the greatest names on Instagram ever. Tell him what it is.
At 4 King Chef. JK Chef Collection.
That's awesome. Hey, do me a favor. Tell your wife that I stole that picture because I know when I screen capped it, she gets a message. I screen capped a picture from her. Tell her I did it for the show. I didn't do it because I'm weird. And I actually edited her out of the picture altogether.
You probably saw it on my page. She always lurks on my page.
Well, I hope to get to hang and meet your wife in person this summer at some point, man. And gentlemen, here's to the second half of for sure, man, for sure. Here's to the second half of 2017. I think we're okay. I think we're doing all right up to this point. What do you think?
Woohoo! Yeah, man, I feel good going into the summer. I feel like we're going strong.
I do. I agree.
Yeah, I'm pretty
excited. Dave, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm ready to knock out the summer and get to that off season.
I hear you, man. All right, you guys, listen, I appreciate you coming on. We're going to do a little, maybe a little 40-minute after show here on Station Head. You can check that out by downloading on the App Store, download Station Head. Use invite code Chef Plum if you want to. It is iPhone only. I know a lot of us kitchen motherfuckers all have fucking Androids, but the Android app is coming, so just hang in there. But if you got an iPhone, you want to join us on that after show, check it out there. Jeff, I appreciate your time, my friend. I appreciate your friendship.
Always.
Happy to have you on here. You know, open door whenever you want it, bro.
Vice versa. I love being on the show. Thanks for having me, bro. And it's always good. Always good to talk to you. Dave, great to talk to you too, bro.
Good talking to you, Jeff.
Definitely.
Awesome. All right.
You guys have a great night.
There he goes. Chef Jeff, there he goes. Dave, my new buddy, I appreciate you taking the time tonight and come on and chatting and just talking shop with us a little bit, dude, and running miles and telling stories. I think you got a bright future ahead of you here, brother, so I appreciate it, and thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, bro, anytime.
And hey, man, maybe I'll see you on that other app here shortly. You never know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, appreciate it, brother. There he goes. One and only Dave Boredom, of course, Bearded Boredom on Instagram is what his name was. We all know him as that. And my name, of course, is Chef Plum. You can follow me at Chef_Plum on Instagram and Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us tonight as we checked out the halfway point here in the culinary world. Great time. Big shout out and thanks to those gentlemen for coming on, Chef Jeff Peraz, and, of course, Chef Dave Boredom for coming on and chatting with us tonight. We got a lot of things going on this week. If you're around in the tri-state area, I will be on Star 99.9 tomorrow. And of course, I will be also on CT Style tomorrow. Check out for that. That's going to be on social media. We'll post it there, of course. A lot of fun things happening. I'm shooting a commercial on Thursday. You know, there you go. So that's what we got going on. That's what we got going on, man. So I appreciate your time tonight. Hope you guys all have a fantastic evening. Whether you're whether you're West Coast, whether you're East Coast, getting ready for bed, West Coast, getting ready to go out for the evening. I appreciate your time taking and listening to us and run our mouths. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. See you next week. Peace. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.